Well, today's Holy Gospel, which is from Matthew chapter 2, is a group of men who God put something on their heart, and they're described as wise men. These men are often called wise men, magi, or three kings, as we sang about this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." It's apparently quite some time after the birth of Christ that these wise men entered Jerusalem while following the star. The term magi, which we have converted into wise men and kings, comes from the Greek magos, magos, or magician, an astrologer from the East, a magician, a class or kind of wise men specializing in astronomy, astrology, and natural sciences. Well, it was in the King James Version, which refers to the magi as wise men, and it was probably most likely to reduce the thought of magic or magician, follower of the occult, that could be drawn to the word magic. Many times we hear these men referred to as the three wise men. And you know, we actually have no evidence to support this idea. We don't know that there were actually three people, three wonderful men who came and brought three gifts. We know that there were three gifts, but there could have been any number of people in this entourage who came. Nobody but God actually knows for sure. There are some who believe that the wise men were a group of astronomers from the Mesopotamia area. Their names don't appear anywhere in Scripture, but religious tradition named them as Melchior, a Persian scholar, Caspar, a scholar from India, and Balthazar, an Arabian scholar. It's the custom for visiting dignitaries to see the king of the region, and so they paid a visit to King Herod and asked for information about another king, the king of the Jews. I got to tell you, this must have really ticked off Herod. It was an insult to name all insults, because he had been appointed by the Romans as king of the Jews. And now here's people from another area coming in and seeking another king over his domain. Ouch. When these men greeted Jesus, they didn't find the babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. In the gospel, Jesus is referred to as the child. And it said this, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. That's Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. These men from the east were led miraculously to the very place where the young Jesus was. On coming to the house, the gospel says, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Matthew 2:11. It's clear they didn't go to the stable, but to a house to see a child and not a baby. Now, this probably throws your Christmas cards out of whack. And the vision that we all see, following the star, going to the stable. But I'd rather follow Scripture. That's my star. There's also evidence as to how much time had passed since the child was born, since Jesus' birth, which is in Herod's attempt to destroy the boy. Herod had all male children in Bethlehem who were under 2 years old slaughtered. Matthew chapter 2, 16 to 18 clearly states, when Herod realized he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, Rachel is the wife of Jacob, and her tomb is in Bethlehem. You remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? A long time before Jesus was born, and Rachel is weeping. My brothers and sisters, what we have here is a crazed and brutal king who was bent on destroying all of these youngsters. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, the gospel says, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. Matthew 2, 3 through 8. What a lie! What outright deceit! He didn't want to go and worship the king. Instead, he wanted to annihilate him and get him out of the way. You see, there can't be two kings of the same people. He was king of the Jews, and he wasn't going to let anybody else take that from him. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of historical good that King Herod did in expanding the unfinished temple, more than doubling the Temple Mount area, building a fortress at Masada and the Herodium, which is right near Bethlehem. Remember, Bethlehem is only about 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem. And he had other palaces built. But this, my friends, was a real maniacal madman. He wanted to know where the king was born, as foretold in God's word in Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. How can a baby be born from ancient times? Only God can do that. Only God can be that. Isn't it interesting that the Jewish leaders knew the prophecies but never wanted to go and see for themselves? They stayed right on their little cush area in the temple. They did not want to go out. Instead, what did they do? They had a group of Gentiles who were willing to cross a desert, to follow a star, to offer gifts, to offer worship to someone foretold, but who they never knew. After meeting with the scribes and chief priests, Herod sent these visitors from the east and their entourage to Bethlehem to search thoroughly for the child. Herod pretends that he wants to worship the king of the Jews as well. What a charade. And so the wise men go to visit the Savior. The gospel says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Matthew 2, 9 to 12. It's hard to hear the truth, isn't it? God leads these men with a star directly to where Jesus is. They fell down before him, and they offered him gold, incense, and myrrh. After a time of worship, God warns these men of Herod's true plan to destroy the child, the Christ child, and the family. He wanted to annihilate them. And so the Magi depart another way. And as the family fled to Egypt, as they were shown in a dream. God was trying to show these men something special, and they were blessed to see the Savior firsthand and know that the world truly needs a Savior. My friends, today God's doing the very same thing. Like these people, God wants people to see His Son for who He really is, the Savior of the world. God opened their eyes, and then He opened their hearts. These men fell down when they saw Jesus, and they worshiped Him. There's no denying that there are many people today who see God at work all around them and actually know that it's God who's working, but they're indifferent and they just don't care. Or they could be so wrapped up in themselves that they're missing it. There are people who really do believe that Jesus is the Savior and the only way to heaven, but they refuse to open their hearts because that would totally change their lifestyles. Then there are those who completely deny that Jesus is the only way to God. How absolutely tragic it is that people can't open their hearts to understand who Jesus Christ is and what He brings to them personally. We need to pray for those who don't think that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or those who think that Jesus is something other than Savior, Son, and the Christ, the Messiah. We need to pray for their hearts to be opened and transformed, that the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself to them and change their hearts and their lives forever. Today, we heard about and sang about these men from the East who came and humbly met the long foretold king, bringing to him gifts. All three were expensive gifts that they gave to this young king, willingly, humbly, and gratefully as an act of faith. Not only that, before they met Jesus, they set out on a journey that may have lasted 2 years, obediently following a light in the sky, unsure of exactly where they were going or what was lying in front of them. They followed God's direction and relied on Him to show them the way. And so in closing, for each one of us, we're on a similar journey. We must rely on God. We need to be following God's direction, just trusting in God. And like these wise men and Mary and Joseph, we must, as a church, listen to the direction that God has given to us. We're called to follow Him. Jesus told us in John chapter 15, 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." My brothers and sisters, we have been called. We have been chosen to follow God's direction in our lives in grateful obedience. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.